Today's scripture is from Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28, and Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Please follow along in your handout if you like. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the word of God.
Oh, let's pray together, if you will, this morning. Dear God, we are just grateful to be here. We're grateful, oh God, for your word, and we're grateful today, oh God, for the words that you've given me to speak. I ask, oh God, that those words come forth the way that you intend, that they fall where they may, and that, Lord, they bring fruit as you intend them to. So, Lord, bless us in this time of hearing. In your name, amen. So how many of you are snake people? Anybody in here a snake person? There's a snake person. Okay. Anybody up here is a snake person? You like snakes? Wow. This is, okay. No, snakes. Oh, did you think I said steaks? Okay, let's do that first. Who likes steaks? All right, that's what I meant. Well, how about snakes? You do like snakes. Terry likes snakes. Okay. All right. We can talk about that later. Snakes are, they kind of freak people out, most people. You know, I remember growing up on the ranch, we had this whole thing about rattlesnakes, of course, you know. We'd be out, we'd be riding horses, we'd be hiking, whatever it was. And man, if there was a rattlesnake nearby, you could just sense it, you felt it. Has anybody ever had that thing where you see a rattlesnake and it shoots through you, right? You kind of get this fear, at least I did, that kind of makes your knees just go watery, you know? Rattlesnakes, any kind of snakes, they kind of freak people out, you know? We have this sort of built-in animosity towards snakes, at least most of us do. But, you know, in some ways that maybe should not be the case. If you look at certain theories about the brain, they say that the core of our brain, the very nub of our brain, the sort of stem of our brain is actually the brain of a reptile, actually the brain of a snake or a lizard, the reptiles that we supposedly evolved from. A man who came up with this theory in the 1960s, his name was Paul MacLean. And he theorized that we have this reptile brain, this actual reptile brain that kind of, you know, governs those instincts that we have, the instincts for survival and for flight or fight, the instinct for aggression and anger, the instinct that we have to gather in tribes. He said all of those things, reproduction, revenge, all those things come from this reptile brain that they call the reptile complex, the RC brain. And over the millennia, the theory goes, another brain sort of formed over the top of that one, our sort of mammal brain. And then over the top of that one, our sort of human brain, you know, with its higher functioning, that brain sort of came up on top of that. But that these three parts of the brain are so distinct that it's really like having three brains in one. And they actually call it the triune brain. The triune brain. Now, that was in the 60s. Nowadays, you know, science has evolved a little bit, you know, in the way of brain function and stuff. And they're not all that high on that theory anymore. But that theory that we have this reptile brain is really popular among people. And I have a theory why it's popular among people. Because having a reptile brain that's in that core of us that is pushing us to do things that maybe we have no control over kind of gives us a way out, doesn't it? When we do those things that we really wish we hadn't done. When we come under the influence of the who we are that we wish we weren't. When we are under the influence of the who we are that we wish we weren't, it's good to have a scapegoat or scape snake. Say, well, it wasn't me that did it. It's that lizard in me. It's that snake in me. That can be comforting because look, who really likes to look? Who really likes to look coldly at the who we are that we wish we weren't? It's nice to have some distance from that. Well, that's well and good if we really want to believe that we are governed by this kind of reptile brain, this triune brain. But for those of us who believe in God, you know, I think we have to look in other places, don't we? For those of us who believe, like it says in Psalm 139, that God created my inmost being, that He knit me together in my mother's womb, that I praise because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. For those of us who believe that God made us and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, blaming the snake is not really going to cut it when we are the who we are that we wish we weren't. We have to come up with other options. We have to make some choices. Now, we can choose to buy in to the triune brain, the triune brain theory, or we can embrace the grace of the triune God who is within us, the triune God, by whose power everything we see around us, all of creation, was made. The triune God, who we are told loves us. The Apostle Paul says that God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, are clearly understood from what has been made. That means that almost everything we need to know in order to take that first leap of faith, to kind of reach out and grab on to God in faith, to believe that there is a God, almost all we need to know is around us in the observable universe if we're willing to look and we're willing to believe that God made those things. All of what we need to really give ourselves over to God is there in the observable universe. And by looking at the way He created it, Genesis tells us that He created the universe, that his Holy Spirit, that His Spirit was hovering over some vast and dark and deep waters. And that out of this kind of stuff, this creative soup, He began to form things. Form the things of the universe. And then He took and He began to separate those things and delineate those things to bring order to the universe, right? He separates the day from the night, the light from the dark, the waters above from the waters below. He separates the sea from the land, the scripture tells us, and then He creates a multitude of fish and of birds and of animals and of plants, and then He separates them according to their kind. He delineates them. He brings order to that natural world. But then He gets around to creating His crowning achievement, human beings, you and me. And there He doesn't separate. He creates one kind of human being, male and female, He creates them. But He creates them to come together as one. And then He sets within human beings, within you and me, His image, His divine spark, so that we can come together with Him as one. And there, He He gives his people dominion over everything that he's created. He says, I trust you. You rule over this. He gives us the ability to create and to form things ourselves. And he gives us the ability, like him, to separate, to delineate, to discern. Now, we know what happens to human beings in chapter 3, right? In chapter 3, they take all of that good will that God gives us, the free will that he gives us. They take that and they decide to separate themselves from God, don't they? Human beings decide to separate themselves from God. And we begin to live with the sin that comes into the world. That brings about all of this deceitfulness and all of the unfaithfulness and all of the murder and the hits just keep on coming that go down through the ages. And in Scripture, that sin that comes into the world, it's pictured as a snake. So maybe McLean isn't too far off that there is something in us. But it's not a reptile brain. Rather, it's the remnants of that sin. But God gives us the ability. God gives us the power. God gives us the ability, like his ability, to separate good from evil. To separate light from dark. And where we are going to reside, where are we going to live? In the light or the dark. He gives us that ability to separate. He gives us the ability to take charge of our own lives, to look at the who we are that we wish we weren't, to look at it squarely, and to conquer it. That isn't always easy. I would not downplay the power in our lives of habit, the power in our lives of the past to influence us. We can't downgrade or ignore the power that anger has over us, the power that our carnal lusts can exercise over us. We can't ignore the fact that, yes, in our brains, the more that we do a certain thing, the more that those grooves get cut in our brain and they start to play that same old song just like an old record. Or that the pathways in our hearts that are rutted from so much travel, those roads that we travel upon, they keep taking us down those same paths of failure, sometimes regret, all those things that we wish we could be separated from. It's hard. But here's the thing. We're not left to do this alone. The power of the God who created the universe is available to us to challenge and to conquer the who we are that we wish we weren't sometimes. And he does it with us. I mean, it's hard sometimes to face these things in ourselves. It's hard to face ourselves, isn't it? Nobody likes to do that. It's scary, isn't it? Nobody wants to face scary things by ourselves. When you watch a movie, when you watch a scary movie and you see the main character, he's coming up to that corner and you know that right around the corner something awful is going to happen. This is something is really bad behind there. And what do we do if we're with somebody? We want to grab them. We're not even in the movie. We're just watching it, but we want to grab them. Nobody wants to face the who we are that we wish we weren't alone. How many of you have ever been in those places in your life where you have bills that you just can't pay? You have bills that you just can't pay. And they just keep coming. And every time they come, a little shudder goes through you, a little anxiety goes through you. You need to take the bill. And maybe you don't even open it, but what do? You put it in a drawer and you close the drawer because you just don't want to see it. It's hard to face. Or we get in one of those relationships. Or maybe we've gone a little too far And we got to let that person know that we don't want to go any further. We don't want to go anywhere anymore with them. But we put off that conversation because it's scary and it's hard to face that conversation, to face that mistake. Oh, we wake up in the middle of the night. You ever had this one? You wake up in the middle of the night and you realize suddenly that all the stuff that's been going on around you, the anger or the angst or the mistakes or the patterns, whatever it is that's been bringing us down, it's not because of all of those people. It's because of me. And you wake up to that realization and you go, oh, no. And you turn over and you try to just cover up and put your head under the covers and ignore that. Because it's hard to face the who we are that we wish we weren't sometimes. But that's where the triune God comes in. That's where God comes in. That's why we're so great to have God. That God that created the universe in grace. That God that separated good from evil, separated light from dark in grace. He gives us Jesus to stand by us in his grace. And listen, when we take a good, hard look at the who we are that we wish we weren't, with Jesus by us, hey, it's a whole lot better. The grace of Jesus makes anything that we have to look at look a lot better. In fact, the who we are that we wish we weren't really condemn in the light of his grace, in the light of his forgiving grace, his empowering grace. We can even begin to see the outlines of the who we are that God has made us to be. The who we are that God has made us to be. Sons and daughters. Sons and daughters of the King. It's by his grace. By his grace, we're enabled to see and face up to the hard things sometimes that we need to face about ourselves and move on. Move on into the future that God has for us. He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. Holy and blameless in his sight. He's waiting for us. In his sight, in his love, he destined us to be adopted as his sons and his daughters through Jesus Christ. To the praise and of his glorious grace, which he freely has given to us as those whom he loves. We need not fear. We need not fear to face the who we are that we wish we weren't, because Jesus is facing it with us. And he will show us. He will show us in good time the who we are that God is making us to be. What needs to be healed in you today? What needs to be changed in you today? What do we need to lay down before Jesus and let him take? What do we need to surrender to him and separate away from our lives? How do I need to be healed today? Oh God, oh God, oh God. How? You know. Healing is a wonderful thing. Healing is one of the most beautiful things you can see in God's created order. Do you know how it is that we heal when we're cut, when we're wounded? When we're cut, when we're wounded, blood flows to that place. And as it flows to that place, it comes into the air and those blood cells die. And they die in order to staunch that flow of blood to save us. That Jesus, whom God has given us in his Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has died for us also, that we may face who we are, who we wish we weren't, and take those steps towards becoming the who we are that he's made us to be. Let it be. Let it be for every single one of us as we move forward in this journey of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord. Oh Lord, you've given us so much. And Lord, we know that you have destined us to be your sons and your daughters. So God, let us step up to that. Let us step up to that destiny. Let us face whatever it is in us, oh God, that needs to be changed. And let us give it over to you that you might help us to change. Oh Lord, we offer you our lives today. And we offer you our lives today knowing that you are powerful and faithful to love us and to stand with us. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.